Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Very important person is here. We've been talking to him all month long from Mountain View Medical Group, part of DaVita Medical Group. Dr. Derek Hatch is here. Hello, doctor.
Hello. You're too kind.
It's so great to see you this morning. We've been, of course, talking to you every week for our weekly Health Minute. And we've been specifically focusing on childhood obesity because September is National Childhood Obesity Awareness Month.
That's correct.
And the numbers are not good, are they?
No. It's been a problem for quite a while, and it's been trending over the last several decades, and it's something we're really trying to fix.
And that's why we're having this month-long conversation about childhood obesity and everything parents need to know. And, of course, during the last few phone calls, we've talked about, first we talked about, you know, kids who face childhood obesity, what the ramifications are for kids getting bullied, and all that stuff that can influence childhood obesity. And we also talked about what parents can do to help prevent childhood obesity, support healthy growth in kids. And last week we covered if you are, your child is already, you know, kind of obese and combating an unhealthy weight, what parents can do. And what we're going to do is we're going to expand on that conversations that we've had over the last 3 weeks. By the way, if you want to hear our weekly Health Minutes with Dr. Hatch, you can go to krdo.com. Click under radio, click on podcasts, and you can see those podcasts there from our weekly Health Minutes with Dr. Derek. Eating right, and we've talked about this before, it's a struggle, isn't it?
It is. You know, the natural instinct is to eat what looks good. It's good. And, you know, that can be healthy food, but a lot of times it's what's convenient and what we know and what we like.
Which, exactly. Yeah. Which is hard, and especially for parents, too, because sometimes we use rewards. Parents use rewards that are not like, here is a broccoli stalk, right? Like,
who's going to get their child to be able to do what they want or reward? It's natural to get a child to do what they want by offering them something they love, which are going to be those sugary things, which is hard.
Talking about some eating right tips and tricks, of course, what kind of foods should parents be shopping for? You're not saying, doctor, of course, we're going to leave out all sweets because we know that's impossible.
Right. It's in moderation, you know, all things in moderation. Especially the sweets and things like that. There is place for those type of things in the diet, little bits here and there. But yeah, as you mentioned, talking about what to shop for, right?
Yeah. What kind of foods should parents kind of be shopping for to help with
you,
that?
Tomorrow?
Yeah, so I always recommend making a shopping list before you go shopping. That way you can help organize things, figure out what you need, save some money, maybe find some coupons, a little cheaper. But you also tend to choose some of your week rather than, you know, going to the store, ooh, this looks good, I want to take this. Oh, I love these, they have these in stock. You know, and for several reasons, you should always eat before. First off, let's talk about those dairies. So milk, always try and consider using those low-fat or fat-free milks and dairies, unless your child is, you know, of two.
I was going to say, now, what's the age? Because, right, you know, as milk, right?
Yes, they do. They especially, you know, add from breast milk. Oat milk is a little bit closer to what they need as far as calorie-wise and whatnot. And then as they get closer to 2 years of age, you know, there's some special cases in which, as a pediatrician, we'll keep them going longer on the whole milk. It tends to be gaining a little bit too much weight or something like that. But generally, yeah, 2 years of age is about where we make that transition over to the, you know, low-fat dairy options, like low-fat yogurt, the type of yogurt that's going to be the healthiest for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And then with that, you know, switching gears over to your fruits and veggies, you know, we talk about fresh fruits and veggies, but you can also get healthy canned and frozen fruit and veggies as well. And they can also, but when you shop for those, you want to be looking for ones that are, for example, the fruits. And then, you know, with the veggies, looking for the ones that are labeled with low sodium or no salt added.
So you want the low sodium, no salt added.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. We tend to get too much of that in items like that, but yeah, it can be a little bit too overwhelming when we're getting too much. So next is the grains. So when we're talking about our carbs, half of our grains or more should be whole grains. Whole grains include whole wheat, brown buckwheat, oatmeal, whole grain cornmeal, whole oats, and have nearly as much nutritional value, as well as, for sure, they don't have as much fiber in them.
Okay, right.
And then with your proteins, beans, peas, lentils, eggs, you know, all offer good sources of proteins. And, you know, some of those better than others. People know this, but you should be, you know, eating more of the lean meats rather than fish. There's some great fish out there. Everyone knows about omega fatty acids.
Right.
And then, of course, when you do the red meat, specifically talking about ground beef, there's all different lean types, percentages, when you're grabbing them. We usually recommend, if you can, to go with at least 90.
A quick break. We'll have more with Dr. Derek Hatch next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we're talking with pediatrician Dr. Derek Hatch from Mountain View Medical Group, a part of DaVita Medical Group. And Dr. gave us a great kind of list of foods to eat that parents should be shopping for to help other kids fight childhood obesity. But one thing you wanted to touch on really quick before we move on, because we have so much to talk about that we could talk about today.
Yeah.
Check the labels. And that's one thing I kind of feel like, even as adults, we have to check the labels, right? Because we have heard concerns about foods not being labeled properly, stuff like that. But it even, you know, even more with kids, you just kind of need to check those labels.
Yeah. And something that can be misleading on those is you see a lot of things nowadays marketed as fat-free or sugar-free, right?
Right.
But it's kind of misleading because a lot of those things that are fat-free have a lot of sugar,
right?
Or vice versa. And so that's where you have to flip it over and look and actually, you know, account for that.
Right. You know? And that's where going to, and it's, look, we all get it. Sometimes it's hard to get all those natural whole foods or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But check the labels, right?
Yeah, very
absolutely.
True. Very true.
Okay, really quick, I do want to touch on portion sizes. I think this is something that we have all, they just get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And the plate sizes, like I have two sizes of plates at home. One is this huge dinner plate. And I'm like, why? I don't use it, right? Because it's so big.
Right.
And the other one is actually probably what a, right, it's a salad plate or what, but it's actually what a normal plate size should be. So I don't use the big plates. I use that because the portion sizes have just gotten so ridiculous.
Right. And what do? When we come to a meal is we come hungry. Mm-hmm. And so we see all this food that looks great, right? And, oh, I want a huge dish of serving of that. I want a huge serving of this. We throw it all on there. And a lot of times, you know, our eyes are bigger than our stomach, you know. And but over the years, we've come to accommodate this a little bit more, and that it's more natural to have these huge serving sizes. You know, I actually... I've treated several families, or actually I should say children, in my clinic where they come in and maybe they're obese or overweight, the child, and we're discussing what they're eating, how much they're eating, and we'll talk about the snack times, like after school, you know, what's a normal snack for them? And you would be surprised how many parents will describe an after school snack that actually is an average full-size meal for an adult.
Oh, and it's being treated like a snack.
Right.
Okay.
And it blows your mind sometimes. You know, in our country, one-third of American kids are overweight or obese.
You said one-third.
One-third.
Wow.
Yeah, that's incredible. There's quite a, you know, it's a problem. You know, back in the 60s, 70s, if you were to compare it, the numbers would be a lot lower than they are nowadays.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard this cultural belief out there a few different times amongst, you know, different families that a, quote, chubby toddler is a healthy toddler. Have you ever heard that before?
I have never heard that before.
So I've heard that, and that's not necessarily true, of course. You know, a child that is obese or overweight in childhood is five times more likely than the average child to be obese or overweight as an adult.
Well, and I'm hearing, and, you know, this comes up in national health reports, and I'm sure you see it too, Dr. Hatch, but children being diagnosed with, and we're not talking about what type 1 diabetes, we're talking about type 2 diabetes, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes when they're children.
Yeah, earlier and earlier nowadays, we're seeing type 2 diabetes develop. And so with that, like we were discussing those portion sizes, there's a difference between a serving and a portion. A portion can be whatever we decide it is.
Yeah. But look, it's the size of this whole bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
So I talk to families about serving size. You know, hold up your fist and clench, and that's about a serving size. But, you know, the caloric needs for a child is different depending on their age, activity level, sex. So, for example, a toddler usually only needs around 1,000, 1,200 calories a day, but the 18-year-old male needs anywhere, depending on his activity level, 2,200 to 3,200 calories a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and that's different depending on their lifestyle, energy demands, and everything. And always remember, on those plates, we tend to throw on things that we like, but half of those plates should be fruits and veggies.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and the one thing you brought it up, Doctor, is, okay, we can monitor it here at home, like what the kids are eating. We shop. We do our best to shop, make mm-hmm. sure they're eating right at home. But then they go to school. Then they go to a friend's house. Then they go hang out at the mall. Do kids do that anymore? I don't know.
I don't think nowadays much.
They go hang out at the mall like we did. Okay. But how can parents, I know there are a lot of parents right now going, that's great and all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when they're out and about, I can't monitor what they're eating.
You know, that's so true. And it's really hard as a parent to control that kind of thing, especially the more freedoms they get as they get older. They're not always there in your supervision all the time. So, you know, the best thing I can say to that is you try and teach them best you can with those correct principles. And, you know, you have to at some point let them govern themselves and learn.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of kids that I see in my clinic, as they get in those tween years, sometimes we call it.
Yeah, the tween years, the tweenies.
In those early teenage years. And I talk to them about, hey, you're changing. You're growing into what we call more of an early adult-sized person. And you need to learn to take care of your body gradually over time, a little bit more like an adult, which includes one of the biggest things I'm talking to him about when I bring that up is those healthier eating habits.
Right.
And so that's what they need to do, as well as, you know, if you know your child's going to be going somewhere that is going to be one of those high treat, high calorie things like birthday parties or any type of party or holidays, try and feed them before they go so they're not so hungry and wanting to eat a lot when they go to those, you know, high treat areas. And, you know, one thing that I have to bring up, I'd be amiss if I didn't, is so we're coming up on Halloween, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a time when all kids tend to splurge a little bit more and they get this big sack of candy. What do they want to do? They just want to have at it, right?
Right.
So planning for even those type of things accordingly by, you know, divvying it out, having them eat it over the year, you know. And then you can even do things with your Halloween candy, like have you ever heard of Operation Gratitude?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that. And there's similar programs where you can donate some of that candy
Absolutely.
To make packages for soldiers. And there's even a website you can go on and find participating dentists that'll actually
buy back your
candy.
I was going to say, Dr. Hatch, there dentist right now going, yes, preach it, Dr. Hatch.
Yeah, I've heard of things where they give you like prizes or coupons towards their dentistry practice, or I've even heard of cash prizes out there type of thing, or paying for them. But yeah, and like you said, if they're going to school and eating things, you're concerned about what the school lunch is, which most schools are getting better about that, but you can always have them pack their own lunch or you can pack their lunch for them.
Perfect. Okay, we have to take a news break. We're going to have more with Dr. Derek Hatch when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, talking with Dr. Derek Hatch, pediatrician, Mountain View Medical Group, part of DaVita Medical Group. And I know, Doctor, we could keep talking about food, food, food. There's so much to it. But of course, if folks have questions, they can always reach out to you, right?
Of course.
And how can they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me through Mountain View Medical Group itself. I work at a clinic, ABC Pediatrics, in the north end of Springs. But yeah, they can always call in the clinic, come in and see me, whatever they like.
Absolutely. And one of the things we did touch on, and sometimes with the weekly health, that's why we do the hour-long show, because like in the mornings when we're doing our weekly health, it's just like little tidbits, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's kind of shift our focus to being more active, getting kids to put the screens down, the video control, the game controls down, right? It's a struggle for probably every parent out there, isn't it?
It is. You know, there's some that don't enjoy that kind of thing, but there's definitely a lot out there who have the problem. I'd say it's more on that side than the other.
I mean, I remember, I'm not trying to age myself, people, but I remember when it was, you know, you go outside, you have fun. My folks used to have to ring a cowbell to let us know it was time to come home, right? Because we were just out all the time. And it's been a complete shift. So we're seeing less activity with kids today. And again, you know, games, video games, devices, stuff like that. So what types of activity is suggested for kids to help maintain weight versus losing weight? Because we're kind of talking about both. We want them to maintain their weight. But if a child is already, you know, kind of combating some weight right now.
Yeah, great question. So first off, I want to put out there that not all children need to, quote, lose weight. But what I mean by that is, as a child's growing, sometimes for a child to do a diet and lose a bunch of weight can, in some ways, be detrimental to their health.
Because, I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, you need a certain amount of calories and, you know, even good fats, because you can't absorb some nutrients and vitamins and stuff without fat in your diet. So actually, for them to keep on track with that normal height growth as well as growing in other ways, they do have to have a certain amount of calories. So in some of my families, rather than them doing a big diet to lose weight, I'll say, let's make those changes so they can maintain the weight they're at, so the actual weight number stays the same,
right,
but they continue to grow taller and older.
Yeah.
And that way their BMI actually comes down,
right,
because they're just not gaining weight, but they're growing taller.
Right.
And so sometimes that is an alternative to straight up losing weight.
Right.
Yeah, but in some kids, you know, it is something that you need to do, especially when they get more into the obese range, that they do need to lose some weight. And, you know, some of those great activities, I always say, avoid doing the just going out and buying a gym membership, right?
Yes. How many, okay, show of hands. How many of you purchased a gym membership and never used it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. Jackie's like, I use mine. Patrick, do you, have you purchased a gym membership and not used it? Yeah, kind of. Okay.
Right. So part of the problem is, and especially with kids, how much are they going to love and remember to and want to just go to a gym and lift some weights or get on a treadmill, right? For most kids,
get
it's kind of boring,
yeah,
right? So I tell parents, the best things to do to get them active are going to be those things they enjoy. So, you know, there's lots of stuff out there. Basketball, biking with a helmet, mountain biking, swimming.
With a helmet.
Right? Racquetball, hiking, soccer, rollerblading. I used to love to rollerblade growing up, but yard work outside together,
yeah,
as a family. That's something to get them active. You know, if you live somewhere that has it available, learn to take the stairs, you
right
know, and that can help quite a bit. You know, and I'd be amiss if I didn't point out the difference between, you know, losing weight is important for those who need it, but at the same time, you also want to, how should I put this? So increase or maintain your health as well, because there's a difference between losing weight
mm-hmm
and getting healthier.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So in that conversation, everyone, not just the kids, but the adults should be doing 30 to 60 minutes of some type of exercise or activity on nearly a daily basis to kind of help
right
get them there. And that goes to that conversation of us as parents should be setting that example for our children by getting that type of activity and exercise. And that's where doing these things as a family comes in
right
so important.
And that's where a lot of parents may struggle, though.
Yeah.
So what tips do you have for parents that are like, no, tell them like, let's go, or, mm-hmm, you know, or maybe this might be the first steps for parents going, no, we need to start all going, hey, let's go to the zoo and walk the hill. Right.
Right.
I mean, that's.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
It can be a spur of the moment thing, but it can also be planned out. For example, you know, how many Saturday or Sunday mornings do the kids sit and watch cartoons, right? Could we rather say, okay, this Saturday morning, we're all going to go to the zoo, walk around. We're going to go to the park.
Yeah.
We're going to go here or there and go do something, you know, rather than sitting in front of the TV. Because as we talk, you know, we've talked about that screen time, how it's a killer against these type of things that we're trying to do. So, yeah, they need to kind of take charge and be the one setting the example. It's easier to tell our kids, you know, go outside and do
right
this or go do something, you know, but the better one, the one that's going to be more successful, is us taking the charge and actually planning things, getting organized in types of events or sports or activities, whether it's a group sport, an
yeah
individual sport, or doing it with them so they can see us doing it. You know, another great one is nowadays, not nearly as many kids ride their bikes to school for various reasons. You know,
right,
our
right
society's
right
kind of changed a little bit, but Can we ride our bikes with them to school or walk with them to school?
Yeah.
That helps both of us get the exercise, and they're enjoying, you know, getting to school on their bike.
Absolutely.
That's just another thought there.
That's a perfect thought. Okay, hold that next thought, Doc, because we got to take another break, and we'll wrap up with Dr. Derek Hatch next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, talking with Dr. Derek Hatch. He is a pediatrician with Mountain View Medical Group. He is at ABC Pediatrics. Correct, doctor? Make sure I'm putting
that. That is correct.
And I mean, so much information. I realize that we could probably sit here and chat for hours on end, but that's the great thing is if folks have questions, they can reach out to you, correct?
Yes, and please do.
So we were talking about activity, and you know what? You brought up a really good point in the break, and it is a different time when we were growing up to kids now.
Yeah.
I mean, and it really is sad that we, you know, like I was saying, like my parents would be like, get out of the house and you'll come back when you hear the cowbell. And it's a different time now.
Yeah, it is. And it's really sad. It kind of contributes to this problem because then we tend to want to supervise our kids more and that ends up keeping them inside. And hence, they want to do something. A lot of times it's a screen or something like that. And it's a spiraling, you know, kind of problem in that. It is, like you said, just sad that this is kind of a change that's happened in our society.
Exactly.
But you can still do that outdoor stuff, just plan correctly, you know, like backyard stuff, doing stuff with them in groups, with friends, different things like that.
So let's talk about battling screen time, even as an adult, like this whole cell phone device thing. I even find myself, now I've gotten in the pattern where when it hits a certain time of day, everything shuts off on my phone. So I don't hear anything. I have to do that for myself. But I know it's a big battle for parents battling screen time, getting kids to put down the devices and engage because we know how important that is for everything. I'm sure you have parents that ask you about that all the time, like how do I beat the screen or the device or get them to engage from the device and get out?
Yeah, and it's a struggle. The best suggestion that I have to give is to start early, okay? Expectations.
Like don't put a device in their hands at 2, maybe?
Yes.
That's one of the biggest problems. Well, right? I see that and I'm like, to me, that is shocking that you're handing a toddler like a device and like, but that's me.
It turns into a lot of times a babysitter for our kids or they're crying and fussy and we're out doing something. Here, give them our cell phone.
There you go. Right.
So they can do that. But that is one of the worst things that we should do, you know? To tell you the truth, screen time in kids between the ages of, let's say, under 18 months of age, the American Academy of Pediatrics says we should avoid screen media
altogether.
For video chatting, maybe with a family member or deployed family member or something like that.
Okay.
But to be done with the adult or the family member.
So you said under 18 months. Okay.
And then 18 to 24 months, you can start introducing high-quality program a little bit at a time, but with the parent to help them to understand what they're seeing and relate it to the real world. And then 2 to 5 years of age, that's when we say, okay, maybe an hour a day, but emphasize the high quality programming, the good stuff out there, because there is a lot of junk.
Instead of just putting it on YouTube and letting whatever roll.
Yep.
Okay.
And then once they hit 6 years of age, that's when we, you know, say, okay, an hour or two a day of non-educational screen time, because nowadays a lot of schools, including my kids' own school, they use iPads for a lot of things.
Right, computers, iPads, everything is on those devices.
Yeah, and so that's kind of the educational screen time. The non-educational, we say, an hour or two type of a thing a day. But and one of the keys to success is getting your kids on board with the plan and agenda. So talking to them about why it's important we don't have so much screen time and making a family plan together. So whenever you get your kids involved in the why and how and the plan to reduce it, they understand and they will take ownership and responsibility that much more. So make the plan with them about, okay, guys, what are we going to do? How are we going to change this? And then even set, you know, positive rewards for we're doing good. You know, a lot of devices even have ways of limiting the amount of time that you can spend on them.
Well, even cable providers have now had to go to the ability to shut off, like why, of course, they can't, the data, but Wi-Fi connectivity and stuff like that to control.
Yeah.
Because I think it's really become that big of an issue.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to go to the source and even set it on the router. Sometimes routers have those parental controls on them.
Okay, so again, if somebody is dealing, a parent is dealing, and I'm guessing it probably the tween eight, but again, some parents have, you know, given their kids devices very young. If they're battling that right now, again, make a plan and start slowly trying to kind of wean them off of the devices a little bit. I bet that's hard, though. A lot of pushback.
Yeah, there is. You know, the national average, I was actually surprised when I read this for the first time, but NIH, the National Institute of Health, studied this, and the average screen time for a kid between 8 to 18 years of age, what do you think? Any thoughts on how much screen time on average?
Are they saying they should or should? Or
they're saying what they're doing right now.
I'm guessing 10 hours.
Okay, not quite that
okay,
much.
Okay, did I go
that's a lot.
Jackie's looking at me like, okay, that was really extreme.
No,
but I've heard of people being on their devices like...
Some actually are up that high, but the average is 7.5 hours a day.
That's huge. And yeah. I was close.
Yeah.
7.5 hours a day screen time.
Uh-huh. And, you know, part of the problem is... 2/3 of kids have TVs in their own bedrooms.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, see? Like, yeah. Jackie's like,
And half of kids have video games in their own bedroom, and 1/3 have their own computer and internet in their own bedroom.
In their own bedroom.
These are no-nos, you know? We have to get these electronics out of the bedroom.
Well, they've even and I'm sure we could have a whole another show on this, but it's proven, like, you need, an hour to disconnect from looking at a device before you go to sleep?
It's very true.
Okay.
Sleep hygiene. An hour before you go to bed, turning it off, consistent bedtime, and letting their brains kind of calm down.
Okay. Yeah. That's insane. 7.5 hours a day.
Yeah.
Of course, I try. Now I'm going to start tracking. Like, I'm going to say, okay, what do you guys think you're on your devices? I'm going to go, I don't know, a lot.
Like 10 or 12.
We work on our computers.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. You know, but this is actually, they quote it as entertaining media.
Okay,
hours.
It's specifically entertaining media, not counting.
That educational stuff or work-related.
I'd say 3 or 4, like Jackie's saying, 3 or 4.
No, 7.5 hours is the average.
When are they doing their homework?
Yeah, that's part of the problem sometimes, is it's not getting done. That is a bigger problem than most people realize, is some kids want to come home and get on the electronic, and... they're not doing their homework. Their motivation is more into other things.
Poor teachers today. Are devices allowed in classrooms? I don't know.
Some are sometimes with certain regulations and restrictions. It's different from school district to school district. But if it's a communication device, it's off, put away, that type of thing. Sometimes it's allowed. But they definitely can't have them out and for use in the classroom.
I was going to say, poor teachers. I mean, some of them have to battle. Okay, so if you do have a child that loves that screen time, work on a plan to put it down and walk away.
Yep, get it out of the bedrooms too.
Okay. Well, doctor, I mean, we could cover so much more, but again, put all the info out there about how folks can reach out if they have questions, how they get in touch with you, because I'm sure a lot of, I'm sorry, but 7.5, and that's just entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Okay. So how can folks get a hold of you, Dr. Derek Hatch?
Yeah. So... Derek Hatch, I'm at ABC Pediatrics, part of Mountain View Medical Group. They can get a hold of us in our clinic. Phone number 719-574-9191 and make an appointment and come see me.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk with you tomorrow, doctor, for our last weekly health minute with you.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Thanks so much. Okay, coming up tomorrow on The Extra, Andy Vick, Jonathan Toman, Cultural Office of the Pikes Peak Region will be here. October is Arts Month. Got lots to talk with them tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.